Hey everyone, and welcome back. Get ready, because we're diving into the world of Jocko Moleman today, and let me tell you, this is going to be interesting.
Oh, definitely.
We've got his CVs, we've got his website, even a whole collection of certifications, and one thing's clear. This guy, he loves AI.
He really does.
So we're going to trace his career, see how he went from those sort of traditional IT roles to being right on the forefront of AI. And trust me, this is about more than just the techie stuff.
Yeah, it's really a story, isn't it?
It's a story about a guy who he saw the future and he thought, you know what? I want to build that future.
And what's amazing to me is, you know, we're not talking about some guy who just learned a few programming languages and hopped on the AI bandwagon.
Yeah.
Jocko's career, it's like it's a masterclass in recognizing what you're truly passionate about and then going after it with everything you've got.
And I think that's so important, right? To be passionate about what you're doing.
It's essential, I think.
And the best part is he didn't just jump on the AI bandwagon like yesterday. I mean, this is a guy with, what is it, like 20 plus years of experience?
Over 20 years, yeah.
And in so many different fields. Banking, telecommunications, insurance.
Yeah, he's got the practical experience.
Not just some, you know.
He's not all theory.
He's not all theory, exactly. He's got that practical know-how to back it all up.
Which is so important in AI, I think. You can't just have the theory. You have to know how to apply it in the real world.
Absolutely. And speaking of applying it in the real world, this is where things get really, really cool. So not only is he certified in like multiple Linux systems, AWS cloud technologies.
Which shows a really strong foundation, by the way.
Exactly, in building and deploying these AI solutions. But he also does Kaggle competitions.
Oh, wow.
Have you ever, like, messed around with Kaggle at all?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Kaggle is like, it's like the Coliseum of data science and AI.
Oh, I like that.
It's where, you know, you go to test your skills to see how you stack up against, you know, the best of the best.
Right, right.
And you get to solve these real-world problems. You know, you learn from other people in the field.
So he's not just like, you know, reading books and kind of getting a theoretical understanding. He's actually out there. He's applying it. He's competing. He's like really refining those skills in the arena.
Yeah. He's walking the walk.
Exactly. Exactly. And that actually kind of brings us to, I think, a really important turning point in his career, which is when he transitioned from sort of just automating system administration tasks to actually building and implementing these machine learning models.
Yes.
And I don't think that's a small step. That seems like a pretty big.
It's a deliberate move. It's like he recognized his passion and decided to fully pursue it.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's inspiring, really.
So he went from being the guy who kept the systems running smoothly, you know, at companies like IBM and MTN, to becoming a full-fledged machine learning engineer at Capitec Bank.
That's quite the journey.
That is quite the journey.
And it's interesting to see how his experience in those earlier roles working with those systems, you know, actually prepared him for the challenges of AI.
Yeah. And you know what? For our listeners who aren't like, you know, fluent in tech, what does a machine learning engineer actually do? Like, what does that even mean?
That's a great question. It's not a term you hear every day, is it?
No, it's not.
Well, if you look at his CV, it seems like he thrives in these collaborative environments, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So at Capitec, he's not just, you know, building and testing these machine learning models. He's working with these senior engineers, these data scientists, you know, developing new algorithms. It's like a think tank.
Yeah, yeah.
But with really high stakes.
Yeah.
They're pushing the boundaries of what AI can do, especially in the banking world.
So he's not just like off in a cubicle somewhere, you know, just coding by himself. He's really part of a team.
Exactly. Exactly.
That is really cool.
And learning from the best, too.
Yeah. Okay. So let's rewind a little bit. Before he was at Capitec, before he was rubbing shoulders with all these other AI experts, he actually started his career, where was it? It was the South African Reserve Bank. And get this. As a mainframe operator.
A mainframe operator. Can you imagine? That seems like ancient history compared to the world of AI.
Right. But don't you think that's kind of like a testament to, you know, you got to start somewhere?
Oh, absolutely. You have to understand the fundamentals.
Those foundations.
It's like learning the alphabet before you can write a novel.
Exactly. Exactly.
And mainframes, they seem old-fashioned, but they teach you how complex systems operate at a really basic level.
Yeah.
And that knowledge, it's invaluable when you're dealing with something as intricate as AI.
So those early roles, it's like his IT boot camp, you know?
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. It's laying the groundwork for all the amazing things he's doing now.
And then from the Reserve Bank, he moved on to the Johannesburg Stock Exchange. then Discovery Health, even back to IBM for a bit, each role adding another layer to his skill set.
And it's not just random skills, right? It's all building on each other.
It's all connected.
It's all collected.
It's fascinating, really, when you start to see the bigger picture.
It is. Okay, so how do we get from mainframe operator to AI aficionado?
Well, I think the answer lies in his skills. And let me tell you, this guy's got skills in spades. In fact, on his website, he's got this really cool skills chart.
I saw that, yeah.
It's like this heat map of his expertise.
I love a good visual.
Oh, it's fantastic. You can see his strengths instantly. Python, Bash, PowerShell, AWS, SageMaker.
Okay. I'm already a little lost.
Oh, sorry.
Can we like unpack some of those for those of us who maybe, you know, aren't as familiar with all the lingo?
Of course. So AWS SageMaker, think of it like this really powerful toolbox specifically designed for building, training, and deploying these machine learning models.
Okay.
It's cloud-based, so you don't need, you know, a supercomputer in your basement to work with these complex AI systems. And within SageMaker, there are all these tools like Studio, Data Wrangler, Notebooks that give data scientists this really intuitive environment to collaborate and build their models.
So it's like this like state-of-the-art AI workshop, but in the cloud.
Exactly.
That's really cool.
And it's no wonder he's building such innovative projects.
Yeah. Okay, so speaking of those projects, I think this is where it gets really exciting because this is where we really see Jocko's passion come to life.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And this is where we see all of his diverse skills and experience come together. It's really quite impressive.
So tell me about some of these projects, because I am dying to know. What has he been building in his, like, cloud AI workshop?
Well, there's one that immediately jumps out, and he calls it AutoCodeBot.
Okay. I'm intrigued already.
And the name kind of says it all, right? So he's basically, he's using what he's learned, all this knowledge, to create a system that can actually build and improve its own code for generating machine learning models.
Hold on. AI that builds AI. That sounds like some next level sci-fi stuff.
It's pretty wild, right?
How is that even possible?
So he's using this really fascinating blend of cloud computing, model tracking, network storage. He's basically created this system that can kind of learn from its own processes and get better over time.
So it's like a self-improving AI.
Exactly.
That's both really cool and also kind of scary at the same time.
A little bit, yeah. It definitely raises some questions about like where AI is going.
Yeah.
But it also just is a testament to his vision, right?
Mm-hmm.
And his ability to push the boundaries of what's possible.
Okay, so let's talk about something a little less existential.
Okay.
He also built a system for like automatically tracking grocery expenses.
Oh, yeah.
Tell me more about that, because that one is very relatable.
Right. So imagine this. You're at the grocery store, you're checking out, and you just take a picture of your receipt with your phone.
Okay.
His system takes it from there, uses OCR, optical character recognition.
How fancy.
It extracts the text from the receipt, right? Mm. And then he's using GPT Vision to interpret that data, categorize your purchases.
Oh, that's so cool.
So no more like manually typing everything into a spreadsheet.
That's amazing.
It's like having a little AI accountant, you know, keeping track of all your spending.
Did he use this himself?
Oh, yeah, he did. He said it was incredibly useful just for tracking his own spending patterns.
I love that.
Identifying areas where he could save money.
Yeah, that's awesome.
A great example of how AI can be used to simplify, you know, these everyday tasks.
Yeah.
And give us these valuable insights into our own lives.
Okay, speaking of using AI to simplify things, this is one of his projects that I thought was so cool, SnapSight, the Android app he designed to help visually impaired individuals.
Oh.
I love that he's like taking these skills and really trying to make a difference.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's really inspiring. And you can see the thought he put into it. So he's using GPT Vision, again, for image description, and AWS Poly for text-to-speech.
Okay.
So the app can essentially see the environment, understand what's in an image, and then describe that to the user.
Wow, that's incredible.
It's amazing.
And it's not just about the tech, right?
No.
I thought it was really cool that he also thought about the privacy aspect because, you know, with an app that's kind of seeing for you, that could be a little...
Oh, absolutely. That's a huge concern.
Yeah.
And he addressed that directly. So instead of, you know, sending images to the cloud for processing, which, you know, who knows what could happen in there.
Right. Right.
He designed the app to process everything locally on the user's device.
Oh, that's smart.
So that information stays private.
That's really, really cool. Okay, so we've talked about the heartwarming, the helpful. Let's talk about the project that maybe sounds a little bit risky on the surface.
Okay.
Generating synthetic bank statements.
Ah,
yeah. I feel like there's got to be a good explanation for this.
Yeah, this is the one that, you know, might raise some eyebrows.
Yeah.
But before anyone panics, it's important to understand his intention.
Yeah, yeah.
He wasn't out there creating fake bank statements for anything illegal.
Okay.
This was all about trying to improve fraud detection.
Okay, so he's like fighting fire with fire.
Exactly, exactly.
But how does making fake bank statements help you catch real fraudsters?
So to train a good fraud detection system, you need a lot of data.
Makes sense.
Right, both legitimate and fraudulent transactions. And real-world fraud data, it's hard to come by. It can be messy, it can be incomplete. So he used Python libraries like Faker and PIL to create this massive data set of realistic bank transactions.
Well, that's clever.
Both normal and with, you know, simulated fraudulent activity.
So it's like a training ground for the algorithm.
Exactly, exactly. He built this virtual playground for his fraud detection algorithms where they could learn from a much bigger, you know, more diverse data set than he would have ever been able to get in the real world.
That's really smart.
It highlights, I think, a growing trend in AI, which is using synthetic data to train these models,
mm-hmm.
especially when you're dealing with, you know, cybersecurity, finance, areas where real data can be, you know, sensitive.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, so he's clearly a very practical guy. But did he ever build anything just for fun?
You know, he did.
Okay, I like this.
And this one made me smile. He tried to predict lottery numbers using genetic algorithms.
No way! He tried to crack the lottery with AI. Tell me it worked.
Well, let's just say, you know, the lottery's still a game of chance.
Okay.
But it wasn't really about, you know, striking it rich.
Right.
He approached it as this really fun learning exercise, you know, to see what genetic algorithms could do.
What did he learn from that experiment?
I think, unsurprisingly, he learned that predicting truly random events is really hard.
Yeah.
Even with sophisticated algorithms.
Yeah.
But the process itself, you know, it allowed him to kind of hone his programming skills,
yeah.
deepen his understanding of these algorithms, and, you know, have a little fun along the way.
I love that. Even with all this, you know, really high level stuff, there's still room to play around.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's how you keep things interesting.
Yeah.
And who knows, maybe you'll stumble on something amazing while you're doing it.
Okay, so we've talked about a lot of his personal projects, but let's go back to his professional life for a moment. Before Capitec, he was at First National Bank, right? Another big bank in South Africa.
That's right, yes.
And his title there was like an automation engineer.
He was.
Which, again, seems like it's right up his alley.
Oh, absolutely. And his CV mentions some pretty amazing accomplishments from his time there.
Like what?
So he was really instrumental in updating their mobile banking app for Android, Apple, Microsoft platforms.
Oh, wow. Talk about a lot of responsibility.
A huge undertaking. I mean, millions of people rely on those apps every single day.
That's a lot of pressure.
A lot of pressure.
So how'd he handle that?
He automated the entire update process.
Of course he did.
Using PowerShell, which is this really powerful scripting language.
Yeah.
And this streamlined the deployment process.
Smart.
Made it much less prone to errors, and it made for a much smoother experience for users.
Once again, automation to the rescue.
Right. He sees a problem, he automates it.
Yeah.
And it highlights again that ability he has to work across all these different systems, different platforms. He's not tied to one specific programming language or one operating system.
Right. He's got that like broad overview.
Exactly. Which is so important in today's IT landscape.
Okay. So he was automating app updates, but he did other stuff at FNB too, right?
He did. He was also really instrumental in implementing what they call Secure Development Lifecycle Processes, SDLC.
Okay, and break that down for me. What is that?
So these SDLC processes, think of them like the guardrails of software development.
Oh, okay.
So they're there to ensure that any new features, any updates, they're rigorously tested for security vulnerabilities before they're released to the public.
Oh, that's so important.
So important.
Yeah.
Especially, you know, now with, you know, cyber attacks becoming more and more sophisticated.
It's like he's thinking about all the angles.
He really is. He's thinking about the bigger picture, the potential risks, and, you know, he wants to build systems that people can rely on.
It's like he's building trust.
Exactly. It's not just about the code. It's about making sure that these systems that we rely on are secure.
Wow. Okay, so we've got a guy who builds AI bots, automates banking apps, dabbles in lottery predictions.
Among other things.
Is there anything this guy can't do?
You know, you'd be hard-pressed to find something he hasn't at least tried.
Yeah.
But I think what's really impressive is not just the range of his projects, it's the consistency of his values.
Yeah.
That passion for technology, that drive to learn, to explore, and really use those skills to make a difference.
You know, it's funny how it's all kind of like come full circle, you know? From those early days at the South African Reserve Bank, working on those mainframes, to, you know, basically automating these really complex systems at FNB, it's like he was, without even realizing it, getting ready for that leap into AI.
Yeah, it's like all those experiences were building blocks.
Exactly.
And it just goes to show, you know, having that diverse skill set, mm-hmm. being willing to, like, jump into new things, new challenges, that's so valuable.
It is, and I think it's really encouraging, too, you know, for people who maybe, like, didn't grow up, you know, coding or like building computers.
Right. You don't need to have like a computer science degree to get into AI.
Exactly. And I think sometimes we see all this stuff about AI and it just feels like
intimidating.
Yeah. And like, I'm never going to get there. But Jocko's like, no, you can start from wherever and you can build those skills.
Absolutely. And those experiences that might not seem directly related to AI at first, you know, like troubleshooting network issues, mm-hmm. automating software deployments, even working with those mainframes, those all contributed to his understanding of how technology works at a fundamental level.
It's like that Steve Jobs quote, you know, it's like, you can't connect the dots looking forward.
Right.
You can only connect them looking backward.
I love that.
And I feel like his story is a perfect example of that.
It really is, yeah.
Okay, but there's one more stop on his career journey that I kind of wanted to touch on, which is Discovery Health.
Oh, yes.
So this was earlier in his career.
Which
it was. And I think it just shows, again, like how he's so adaptable.
Mm-hmm.
So he was a systems operations monitor.
Keeping those critical healthcare systems up and running.
Which, again, like, talk about pressure.
High stakes.
Healthcare data, banking systems, mobile apps. This guy's worked on it all.
He really has.
It's like he's not afraid of any industry.
No fear.
He's just like, bring it on. I'll figure it out.
Yeah. And that's what allows him to bridge those gaps, I think.
Yeah.
You know, between traditional IT and this cutting edge AI stuff.
And we need more people like that, honestly, I think.
We do.
Because things are just getting, you know, more and more complex.
Oh, yeah. The lines are blurring between all these different fields.
Exactly. And so to have somebody who can kind of speak all those languages.
Yeah. Be that translator.
That's really valuable. Okay. So we've talked about Jocko. We've talked about his career. We've talked about all these amazing projects.
He is quite the guy.
If you had to, like, sum it all up, you know, what are your final thoughts? Like, what makes his story relevant, I guess, to our listeners, even the ones who, you know, maybe aren't going to become AI engineers tomorrow?
I think it's a story about empowerment, ultimately. It's easy to feel, you know, kind of swept away by all this technology, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
Like we're just along for the ride.
Yeah.
But Jocko shows us that we're not. We have the power to shape this technology, to use it for good. He didn't just, you know, passively consume technology. He saw a problem. He learned new skills. He built solutions.
He built the future.
He did.
Yeah.
He built the future. And that's something, honestly, we can all do in our own way, no matter what our background is.
I love that. I love that takeaway. It's about not being afraid to, you know, get your hands dirty, learn something new, build something cool.
Exactly. It's about reclaiming that agency in a world that often feels, you know, dominated by technology.
And who knows, maybe some of our listeners will be inspired to like go out and start their own AI powered journeys.
I hope so. The world needs more people like Jocko. People who are passionate, who are curious, who are fearless, people who are willing to, you know, dive into the unknown.
To dive deep,
exactly.
And on that note, I think we've reached the end of our own little deep dive into the world of Jocko Moolman.
A fascinating world it is.
It is. It really is.
And for anyone listening, remember, this is just the beginning, right?
Yeah.
The future of technology, it's not set in stone. It's being written right now by people like Jocko and, you know, maybe you listening.
So go out there, build something cool, and then let us know about it. We'd love to hear about it. We'll see you next time.